Hello, I'm Katie.
And I'm Leslie.
And we're all booked.
Welcome back to another episode of Sterling Municipal Library's podcast, where we talk to you about the books we'd like to recommend.
And Sabrina is bringing The Beekeeper of Aleppo with her this morning. Yes. We're back down to one book, but that's still okay.
Yep.
The cover looks absolutely beautiful, but the entomologist in me has to ask, are bees involved in the book for real?
There are bees in the book.
And okay, good.
It definitely covers what drew me, because I really love bees and everything about them. So
tell us a little bit about the cover.
Okay, yes. So the cover kind of has, well, now that I look at it more in depth, it has not only like some bees in like a gold foil type overlay, but then it also has like, goes from yellow to a pink.
Kind of like a sunset gradient.
Yeah, sunset gradient. But
in watercolors, maybe?
Now that I look at it, it's definitely the desert from where the the book takes place.
Okay.
Part of the book takes place, mm-hmm. which is in Syria.
Okay.
So, yeah.
All right. So tell us a bit about the book.
Okay. So the book is about two people, a husband and wife, who are coming from Syria mm-hmm. as refugees in like 2015, 2016. And it follows two storylines. One is their journey from Syria as refugees through Turkey and then Greece and then eventually to England. And then the other storyline that it switches between is them in England waiting for their asylum interviews mm-hmm. and that sort of thing. And so you get to see that process as well. It was really cool. There are two main characters, but it has a ton of little stories and like other characters that come mm-hmm. into play. Nuri is a beekeeper in Syria, and he is a well-known beekeeper. He has thousands of hives, and they make, with the honey, they make all kinds of different things. And it's really well known. And his wife is a fantastic artist. And mm-hmm. so they have been there. He kind of left the family business of fabrics and went into beekeeping with his cousin. And he never looked back because he just felt like being with the bees was the best thing in the world.
It's secretly a dream of mine. So I relate.
Oh, that would be so cool.
Also a dream of Sherlock Holmes.
Oh, yes. Yeah. So it was really cool. Tragically, and right in the beginning, they are trying to leave because Syria is being overrun by lots of really nasty radical groups that are just destroying it. And mm-hmm. their young son is killed by a bomb. And
that's horrible.
In trying to save her son from the bomb, the mom doesn't make it there fast enough, but she does get blinded by the bomb. So she is blind, but you know that she was a great artist in the beginning. So it follows like her loss of sight as they, you know, make their journeys across the country. So
this is probably like a super stupid question, but were they able to take any of the bees or hives or anything with them? They had to leave it all behind.
They actually left, I want to say in the early morning hours, they couldn't find any more food. They mm-hmm. couldn't find really anything to keep them there now that their son had passed away and the rest of their families had left. And one of the radical groups stopped Nuri, the beekeeper, on his way home. And was like, pick up a gun or we're going to kill you and your wife. And he was like, well, let me go home to my wife and you know, make sure she has her things and then I'll come back. But he doesn't. He's like, no, it's time to go. And his wife make their decision too. Made the decision for him and his wife.
Yeah.
They were leaving because she did not want to go.
So. That's fair. But when the other choice is being inducted into a radical group, sometimes you just got to take a loss.
Exactly.
So it goes between two different parts of their story. Does mm-hmm. it feel like there's the same amount of like suspense or interest or drama in both parts? Or does it kind of feel like very disparate?
They both have their same level of suspense.
Okay.
Because as they're trying to get to the different refugee camps and talk to who they need to talk to and like go with smugglers and get across like waterways and stuff like that, you feel this like intense, like, oh my gosh, like, are they going to make it? And then all of a sudden it'll switch back and they're already in England. So you're like, okay, they made it. Like, yes. But then they're having trouble getting their asylum mm-hmm. stuff figured out. And there's a social worker who's helping them. But as hard as she's trying to help them, she also is having her own struggles of like, there's too many people. She doesn't have all the paperwork. Like, who needs this and who needs that? You don't have your right forms. And so, I mean, they go to do their interviews and they don't have the right paperwork. And so mm-hmm. you're like, no, like, all of this and like what's gonna happen. Definitely the same level of suspense.
Yeah.
And they're both struggling with different issues from their travels. Mm-hmm. She's, you know, blind and trying to figure out how to navigate life, and he's suffering with a lot of PTSD So that is a really big part of the second storyline in England, but you see it start.
Yeah.
In like their start travels. To develop. Yeah, absolutely.
What kind of research did the author do, or has she worked with social groups that would try to help asylum seekers, or what is her background?
So her background, she, I want to say, was a therapist, but she also did 2 summers as a UNICEF volunteer in Greece.
Okay.
In the refugee camps. But her parents were refugees from Cypriot? I don't know how to say it.
Yeah, she's from Cyprus.
Yeah,
Cyprus.
But I don't know how to say their name. But yeah, Cypriot. And so her parents were refugees. She was born, you know, in England, but she was a UNICEF volunteer during this time that she, like, placed the setting of the book. And so she has a lot of experience.
She probably saw a lot of the families.
Absolutely. Yeah. And when it comes to the refugee camps, the detail and the feelings and just the discomfort that you feel as a reader is just overwhelming. So she really hit the nail on the head with that.
Wow. Were there any side characters that you were introduced to that you really enjoyed or found interesting?
So there was this one side character that I really loved, grew to love. She was a refugee as well. She was in a camp in Greece. But just the way that the author wrote about her, she made me feel like, oh my gosh, I just want to help her. Like I felt more like compassion towards her and like, where's her story going? Like, what's going to happen to her?
Yeah.
She seemed to have some different levels of mental trauma that she was struggling with, but she also, they took away her child at some point, whether they took her child away or someone stole her baby. But so she was also dealing with the postpartum of having a young infant that she didn't have. So,
oh my gosh.
Yeah. So there was that. And so Nuri and Afra kind of befriended her and they slept on the, like, in the same like little area together and were kind of there for each other. But it seemed like she also struggled with like drug use possibly, but like it was never explicit. So you were like, what does she mean with what she's saying? So that was one character that I felt really connected to. And then there was one guy that you thought was Nuri's friend, but come to find out he was not. So I was bamboozled.
I thought he was
a good friend, and then he was not. So
was Nuri equally bamboozled?
Nuri was definitely equally bamboozled, and definitely did not handle it well.
Oh,
so,
okay.
Yeah, it was a very tragic ending.
Did they have a connection to the UK, or is that just where they knew?
So their cousin, who he went into the beekeeping line of work with, he left before Nuri did in Afra, and he got to England, and they kept up via email, and so that, because text message, you don't ever know when you're going to be able to have phone charge, but you could go into an internet cafe or somewhere that had computers and log into your email and be able to communicate. And so they kept up via emails. And so the cousin was who he was trying to get to in England. And his cousin started a group of training beekeepers who were once refugees. They put on Craigslist or like eBay or something of the such for a hive if anyone was willing to donate it to these refugees for their training so that they could have a
professional
lab. Yeah, absolutely. And so they did, and it just grew and grew and grew. And so even though Nuri didn't have any of his bees, he knew he was getting to a place where if he could get asylum, he was going to be a beekeeper again. And that was a good thing to look forward to.
Yeah, definitely.
Was there anything eye-opening about any of the countries that they traveled through as they were fleeing Syria?
Nothing really, like, too eye-opening, because I kind of had this idea of what it would look like, because like it just kind of confirmed every, like, those rumors you hear, and like media is always like, oh, this is happening, or this is what they're like. It just confirmed it, really. Greece, they were in a couple of different camps in Greece as they were making their way out, and one of them, though, they got to, and it was for families, and so he had his son's passport with him because their go bag had all of it. And so when he had handed it to them, you know, it had the passport, and there was a young boy that he was, you know, going to try and befriend and help that didn't know where his parents were. And so they were going to be put into a family refugee camp. And when they got there, there was like activities for the kids. The moms had their own area. Like the men, you know, got to do this and that. And so that kind of opened my eyes that if you didn't have children, you were almost set aside and cast away into this other place that was really negative. And that is where the character that I told you about, who had lost her young child, she was no longer able to stay at the family. Like refugee camp. Yeah. So she ended up over there with Nuri and Afra. But then there was other areas where women were allowed to come in and they could shower and bathe and do those sort of things. But there wasn't a lot of options for the men as far as like sanitary options or like clothing or things like that. It was really women.
I think that's something you see in shelters a lot too. Like family shelters are usually like very, not like nice, but they're
prioritized.
Yes. Definitely. Yeah. Whereas, and then women, shelters for women or women with children are usually the next. And then at the bottom is shelters that will accept single men. Mm-hmm. And it's a shame that if you're a single man who just happens to be in a bad way, refugee, homeless, whatever, people just kind of disregard you in favor of women and children.
Absolutely. And that got brought up too, because Afra walks out, she's had a shower, she's got clean clothes on, and he notices how wonderful she smells. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she used to have this specific perfume that she would wear when they were in Syria. And he said, it almost smells like that reminds me of home. And she was like, you do not smell the same as me. Like, kind of kidding. Like, you know, like, you are not in the same, like, level of like, cleanliness that I am right now. And so, and that just, he was like, well, I better find a place. And it was like the fountain, or do I go down to the river? Like, you know, so it's just the same level, but it wasn't there.
Is it all told from Nuri's voice, or do you hear from Afra?
It's told in Nuri's voice, which is where the PTSD really comes in strong. So I think that's why the author did it that way. Because then you start to wonder yourself, like, wait, what? Did he see that person? Was that person there? Or why is he walking? Where is he going? Like, why is he doing this? And so you kind of get to see how someone who doesn't realize that they have PTSD and don't realize that they're imagining people or that they're still experiencing those traumas of bombs or homes getting, you know, raided and things like that. You just see him like, oh, this is every day for me. And so he doesn't realize that there's anything wrong.
Wow.
So it was, and you kind of wonder at first, like, where's he going? Who's he with? And then you're like, oh, wait, no. This is all in his head, you know, and then it was really eye-opening.
How does their relationship change? Like, do they get closer, further apart? Seems like a lot of stress that could either help bond you or help really separate you as a couple.
So they definitely grew apart. Mm-hmm. And that was kind of hard for me because I'm a passionate, like, feel with all my heart, like, oh no, like, come together in this time. Why are y'all doing this? And so there's times where I'd be like, no, stop it, you know. And I was reading it on a plane, so then I would just get frustrated.
You're
and
on like, the plane, just I can't like,
even,
why?
I can't even pace. Like, I'm just upset. And so there was one time where I noticed a disconnect when Afra couldn't really dress herself, is what he thought, because she was blind now. She really didn't know, like, where everything was or how to handle it.
Yeah.
And so he would dress her in the mornings and she was just like really like distant and like informal. Mm-hmm. Like it was just almost clinical.
Yeah.
And he just didn't want to touch her skin at all because he was like, this is a foreign person. This isn't my wife. Like, I don't know who this person is. And so there was one morning where it seemed like Afra was having a good day. And so she had gotten up and dressed herself. And he was just like, well, if she can do it by herself, then I'm just going to leave her to do it by herself now. And it was like, oh my gosh, no, like, this is your wife. Like, she's blind now. Like, so what? She can dress herself, but still help her. Like, before, you know, but they were, oh man, I just, without giving the ending of the book.
Yeah, right?
But there is some reconciliation and there is some mental help that happens.
That's
and
good.
I couldn't imagine what would have happened had those resources not been available and and taken advantage of them.
Yeah.
Because they definitely were going opposite directions.
I don't want you to spoil it at all. And we may end up cutting this question depending on how you answer. Okay. But did you think that the end was too neat or did it feel appropriate for the book?
I didn't feel like it was too neat. I actually, they really didn't tell you if they got asylum or not.
Oh, wow.
Oh, no.
Okay. Yeah. So I don't think that they did. Or I don't think that they told us, if I remember right.
Because
I remember thinking, like, oh, like, this is different. They are reunited with his cousin.
What kind of reader would you recommend this book to?
I would recommend it to anyone who's interested in current day politics. Anyone who is interested in conflict and, like, really internal dialogues of characters. Someone who really likes to get into the head of like who they're reading about. Honestly, I would recommend it to anyone who's mature enough to handle such a complex
book. Did it, at the end of it, did it feel like a downer, or did it feel like, because this is a lot of trauma to read about in, you know, 300 pages? Like,
It didn't feel like a downer. It kind of felt like it came to a conclusion that was neutral.
Okay.
Like, it wasn't all sunshine and rainbows. Like, you didn't end up with this, like, oh, of course they did. Like, everything's all right. Like, now
they lived happily ever after.
Exactly. Yeah.
Was it one of those books where you close it and you're like, wow, being a human is so hard?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I've read those books before.
It almost kind of hit me in a way that I was like, I have never experienced this. I've never been a refugee.
Mm-hmm.
But I know trauma. So I know what that feels like. Yeah. And I know how hard that is on someone. Mm-hmm. But I couldn't imagine trauma on top of trying to find a place where you're not going to be killed.
Yeah.
And that took it past. I was just, I was overwhelmed in a way, like emotionally overwhelmed. And I got done and I was like, time to go back to some inspirational fiction for a little bit.
Yeah, because this feels like a departure from what you would normally pick up. Yeah.
It was. And I've been trying to challenge myself. I really have. Not only one, like, so that I have better book recommendations for a variety of patrons, but also just for myself to grow and, like, read outside of my comfort zone. I enjoyed it. I really liked it. I definitely was emotionally overwhelmed afterwards.
So if you want to take an emotionally overwhelming journey within the human condition, this is the book for you, Beekeeper of Aleppo.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me, guys.
And stay tuned next week for more fantastic book recommendations.
Bye.